We had some articles in the Washington Post and the New York Times this week noting that Vermont was one of a handful of states that allowed ICE access to its Department of Motor Vehicles facial recognition database. And at least one of the articles did note that the access was curtailed back in 2017 by order of Governor Scott. What do you make of the fact that these reports have brought this up again?
Well, we became aware of it in 2017, I think in early of 2017, and we researched the issue, and my office gave a legal opinion saying that the practice of even collecting Vermonters' facial recognition without their consent and without specific legislative approval was a violation of the Vermont state statute. So my recommendation was to suspend the program, and the governor concurred, and that program has been suspended since 2017. And I think that's the right decision, and I think it's the right decision on a number of levels. I think we're in a uniquely difficult time. I think there's a lot of unrest and a lot of uneasiness about data, people's personal data. I think there's a lot of uneasiness about immigration policy. And I think there's a lot of uneasiness about local law enforcement becoming de facto immigration officers. And so I think for a number of reasons, mostly because it violated the Vermont state statute saying that you needed specific legislative approval for DMV to even collect this information, it shouldn't be shared. And the fact that it was, I think, is a disappointment to many Vermonters, but the fact remains that when we became aware of it, we shut it down.
What were and are the legal ramifications regarding sharing this information without an individual's knowledge or consent?
Well, the Vermont state statute really is the controlling law on this, and the state statute on point basically says, Pat, that you need specific legislative approval if DMV can essentially utilize this biometric science to collect people's facial recognition information. And so we don't have legislative approval to do that. And look, I think when you talk about sharing information within law enforcement, information is routinely shared among different law enforcement agencies, whether it's state, federal, and local, but there's always a legitimate law enforcement purpose. It's a criminal investigation. I think what was happening prior to 17 is that there was unfettered access to this type of information from some of the federal authorities. And not only did you not have the approval to collect the information, you didn't have the approval to share the information. And so it's important to note that the Vermont state statute required legislative approval. The Vermont legislature has not approved it. So this information should not even be collected. Therefore, it should not be shared. I think in a general sense, though, it's important to note there are those exceptions where, again, for that legitimate law enforcement reason, meaning a criminal investigation, information is shared. But that was never intended to say you get unfettered access without Vermonters knowing and without Vermonters ever being doing anything wrong, that you get to look at this information and we get to share that information. That was never intended. That's why that program, as I said, for a number of reasons, mostly that it violated the state statute, was shut down in 2017.
Well, TJ Donovan, the Vermont DMV, I think there's a lot of people out there that don't necessarily trust them. It has a history of working with ICE, and there's been some other alleged discriminatory actions. Can we be absolutely sure that the Vermont DMV is not sending information to ICE at this point?
Well, I think it's important to note that the program in regards to what these articles were about was the facial recognition program. So that's one thing. That's been suspended. So that information is not being shared. I think you also have lawsuits in the state of Vermont where my office is representing DMV that was brought by the ACLU and Migrant Justice about other types of information that's being shared. We're currently working with them, and hopefully we'll reach a settlement to address those issues. But you're always going to have those exceptions, Pat, where for a legitimate law enforcement reason, a criminal investigation, information may be shared, but you have to build those guidelines and those safeguards in place so you're protecting people's privacy. We're following the rules of the rule of law, and we're doing it by state statute, and it's not the unfettered access where people are just going in and collecting this information and then sharing it. That's the difference.
What would you tell Vermonters who only learned about this facial recognition database this week if they're worried about it, and what they should do if they think ICE might have accessed their image two or more years ago?
Well, what I would say, first of all, is that it shouldn't have been shared. Frankly, the information should have never been collected. And when we learned about it, we shut it down. Again, we researched the law, we researched the program, and our legal conclusion was unequivocal that this the statute doesn't allow this. The legislature has not spoken on this. Therefore, you can't do it. And so what I would say to Vermonters is that we are sensitive to people's data. We're sensitive to people's privacy. We are going to follow the rule of law. We're going to protect Vermonters. And when it comes to Vermont law enforcement, we're going to do our job as Vermont law enforcement, which is based on community policing, which is the principles of community policing, which is about trusting the community, but also, just as important, making sure that the community trusts us. And that means communication. That means transparency. That means not doing things where we're sharing information where we don't have the approval, not only of the legislature, but the consent of Vermonters themselves. So we stopped the program in its tracks when we learned about it. And now we're making sure that information, if it's going to be shared with our partners in law enforcement, is done for that legitimate law enforcement reason.
Whether it was back in 2017 or when these articles came out this week, does it make you take a look and reevaluate in any way how the state or your office specifically deals with federal law enforcement?
Well, I think, you know, we work with federal law enforcement on a number of issues, Pat. We just worked with the U.S. Attorney's Office in Vermont on child pornography and child luring cases. So we have a very good partnership with federal law enforcement. I think what we have to note is that we have to be governed by the facts, by the evidence, and by the rule of law. And that means that when we're sharing information, it's done because we have reasonable suspicion or probable cause that a crime was committed and we're conducting an investigation. What you're talking about in the facial recognition program was, again, that unfettered access where they were just collecting that information. That's where it's not appropriate. Frankly, as I said before, it wasn't appropriate to collect the information in the first part, on the first point. So I think it's important not to paint this with a broad brush and say that we don't work with federal law enforcement, because we do in Vermont. We work with the U.S. attorneys, especially when it comes to matters involving child safety and prosecuting child pornography cases. So we work very well with them. This is different than what we're talking about. And I think when you put it in the realm of immigration, too, as I said, there's a lot of unease. There's a lot of anxiety. There's a lot of disagreement, frankly, with the Trump administration, from me personally, about how they're handling immigration. And I don't like the idea of local law enforcement becoming those de facto immigration officials. But I think we have to make sure that we're separating those issues from legitimate law enforcement exercises or investigations, such as the child pornography cases, where we've worked very well with the U.S. Attorney's Office, and I have a lot of respect for Christina Nolan, and that's federal law enforcement, versus this type of effort where this information, for no apparent reason, or I should say for no legitimate law enforcement reason, where they're just collecting millions of images, that's what I'm going to object to, and that's what we did object to, and that's why we shut the program down.
One of the big objections, if I recall, back in 2017 was also privacy concerns.
Yep.
Is that one of your key issues with this?
Well, I think the Vermont statute on point is clear in that in order to collect this information in the first point, you need that legislative approval. But I think when you talk about Vermont, when you talk about our Constitution, we have very strong privacy protections in our state. We respect people's privacy. And when you talk about facial recognition programs, when you talk about biometric information, that is invasive of people's privacy. And I think that people need to be informed. I think we need consent. And I think we need to know where that information is going, how that data not only is being collected, who is it being shared with, and how is it being retained and for how long? Because once this data is sent out, you lose it. And I think that's the real privacy issue when we talk about data, when we talk about technology in a world where where technology is just changing so rapidly. I think we have to really push back and make sure that we're protecting people's privacy in this online world that is going to be governed by people's data and biometric information. So I think government has a real role here to protect people's privacy, to push back against the collection of this type of information, and to make sure it's being used for those legitimate purposes.
TJ, down in Washington, the House Homeland Security Committee is actually holding a hearing on the use of facial recognition and other biometric technologies.
Yep.
What would you hope would come out of a hearing like that, especially with the Washington Post and the New York Times really raising awareness about it?
I think guidelines and best practices about how do we collect it, how do we share it, how do we retain it. The point of informed consent is incredibly important, in my opinion, so people understand what is being collected about them and where that information is going. So, look, is there going to be a legitimate use for this type of information when it comes to law enforcement? Of course it is. But it should be used sparingly, and it should be used for the right reasons, again, when we have that legitimate need, that legitimate purpose for law enforcement to conduct an investigation when it comes to public safety, whether it's to file a charge, to find a missing child, to apprehend somebody who has done something dangerous. There's a need for that. But that should be the exception to the rule that this information is protected, that we respect people's privacy, and we make sure that we're informing people that it's being collected, they know how it's being shared, and who has it, and how it's being retained, and for how long. So I hope we get guidelines and best practices out of this. And that's the challenge, Pat, as we continue to live really in this online world. And the question for me, almost a threshold question, is can the law keep pace with technology? Because technology is changing everything we do so fast, and we have to make sure that we demonstrate our fidelity to our principles of the rule of law, which protecting people's privacy is paramount.